I believe this message, if you're taking notes for today, the title of the message is called Checkmate. If you've ever played chess, I used to play chess many years ago, what you're trying to do, amen, is put the other person in checkmate where you don't have any options, anywhere to go. And so we're going to talk about that today. I'll begin with 3 John 2, and I know most of you, this is a word church, amen, where you've taught the word. That was a sorry confirmation, amen. Are you guys here? Listen, I'm used to ministering in Africa where they say amen, praise the Lord, something. So amen, so you're going to have to give me some feedback today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So 3 John 2. Now I'm reading this from the New King James Version, which is what we use in school. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Now a lot of theologians argue about this introduction because they said it was just a greeting, and it was a greeting from the Apostle John to Gaius, who was a good friend, but Gaius had gone the extra mile in showing hospitality, like your pastors do, to the traveling ministers and missionaries that were coming into the city. And there was another guy who was trying to stop anyone from being hospitable, even to the point of throwing them out of the synagogue. But Gaius was one of the people who showed hospitality. Come on, smile at me, amen. So be generous, amen, to people of God. When you come across them, bless them, do something for them, amen. Today we want to talk about how to fulfill the plan of God and the purpose of God in our life. And whatever we're going to do for God, saints, we're going to have to do it by faith. No matter whatever it is that God has spoken to you about doing, the only way you're going to be able to do it is by faith. When we started the school, we sit down with this guy. He was he has 2 earned PhDs, hallelujah. And he had a whole notebook, you know, whole sheets of paper. And he asked me all these questions, and you know, in my ignorance, I said, by faith. And so after about 10 questions of by faith, he said, "I guess you're going to do everything by faith." I said, "That's the only way I know how to do it, man." Amen. And so we went on and did what God said. Amen. He will equip you. If you follow God's plan for your life, you will always come out on top. Now, most people never get to the plan of God. You know, I heard Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. He was, one of our instructors at Rhema, and we called him Dad Hagin. And Dad Hagin said most ministers never get to the first phase. They start with the first phase, but they never get to the second phase of the ministry. And he had pastored at that time 13 years. And God told him, "I want you to travel. I want you to, become an evangelist and travel." And he wanted to, continue to be a pastor. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Dad Hagin said after 13 years of pastoring, the Lord told him, "You're just now entering the first phase of your ministry." So my prayer today is that you'll at least enter the first phase of what God has called you to do. Now, everybody's not called to the fivefold ministry where you're going to pastor, you're going to be a teacher of the word, evangelist, so forth. But whatever it is that God has called us to do, you'll find out when you do it, you'll be happier. Not that you're not happy now. I said happier. Amen. You'll be happier when you get into the will of God for your life. There's no question about it. I want to read you a story. A group was taking a tour of the Louvre Museum in Paris, France, and came upon a picture of a chess game that said, checkmate. On the tour was a chess champion who began looking at the picture. The tour continued, but the chess champion just stood there looking at the picture. Finally, the tour director returned to see if he was okay. And the chess champion said, I have been studying this picture, and I am a chess champion. And the king has one more move. So you need to change the picture or the name of the picture. Amen? Tell your neighbor, it's time to change the picture. Whatever picture you've been seeing, it's time to change it. Many people end their lives because they don't see a way out, but God always has a way of escape. Point number one, God wants us to be blessed. Tell your neighbor, he wants you to be blessed. The devil doesn't want you to have anything, but God wants you to be blessed. How can we, you know, hey, guys, we're getting ready to go to Kenya in less than 3 weeks. On the way down here, my wife was telling me how much we need to send over there to do all the stuff we need to do. How many of you know if I got 000 in the bank account, we're not going to be able to even go to Kenya, amen? You've got to have money to do the work of the ministry. And in order for the Woodists to pastors to do what God has called them to do here at this church, it takes money. Come on, don't get quiet on me, you holy people. Amen. It takes money. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way. This is the Amplified. He says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prosper. So John was talking to his friend, as I said, Gaius. Now John was the brother of James. His mother was Salome and believed to be the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus, which would make them cousins to Jesus. And the theologians believe this is why Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 26, this was explained why Salome came to Jesus with the request for her two sons. You remember when she came to the two sons and she went to Jesus and said, I'd like to make a request that my two sons sit on your left and on your right in the kingdom. And Jesus said, what? You know what you're asking for here. He said, but even if I can't do that because it's already reserved for them that the Lord, the Father, has reserved it for. Yeah, that's right. Amen? But, you know, remember, don't look at me all weird. Amen. let me go on. They worked with their father and had servants. And we see this in Mark chapter 1. Verse 19-20. Now, I want you to see some of these things, so you know I'm just not saying something. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Mark 1, 19 and 20. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them. Now, who is he? Jesus. Called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired servants and went after him. Now, you don't have servants if you're broke, amen? Do we need to take a break and go get some coffee and everybody come back, amen, and get together this morning? Praise God. Now, Salome, the mother of James and John, also provided for Jesus out of his substance. And look at Mark 15, since we're over in Mark 15, verses 40 and 41. Mark 15, verses 40 and 41. There were also women looking on from among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Salome. You see that right there. Who also followed him and ministered to him. Now, him is a capital H, so we know who we're talking about here. When he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. So they followed Jesus, and they also provided for Jesus. That means the women who followed him and provided had to have what? Money. Some money. Come on, don't get quiet on me, amen. They had to have some money for Jesus, whatever he needed to do. And you also see this in Luke chapter 8, verse 3. Now the brothers James and John were called the sons of thunder. Tertullian, who was a Jewish scholar between 160 and 220 AD, said that John ended up in Rome, where he was plunged unhurt into boiling oil. The apostle John moved to Ephesus in Asia Minor, and that from there he was banished to the island of Patmos during Domitian's reign in AD 81 through 96. Now, they put him in oil and tried to kill him. And the theologians believe that one of the reasons that they couldn't kill John was I'm praying to have that kind of revelation, Pastor, where we walk in the love walk in such a way that nothing bothers you. You know, Brother Hagin always said, just stay in the middle of the road. You won't get in a ditch. Amen. People get upset about something, they get offended, and you know, they end up in the ditch. But tell your neighbor, just walk in love. How many of you would agree if we were walking in love, all of these school shootings would stop right now, immediately? All of this craziness would stop immediately if we just walked in love. Now, we can't do it for all these other people, but you can do it for yourself. If you walked in love, at least you'll make a difference to all the people you're coming in contact with. All right, it's getting quiet. John was believed to be the elder in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. So let's go there. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now when you get there, say amen. Amen. That which was from the beginning, which was heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's saying here, we're talking about what we have seen, what we have heard, and he also says what we have handled, we have touched. So he's testifying to that. This is John. And let's go over to 2 John chapter 1, verse 3. 2 John, this next book over. 2 John chapter 1, verse 3. He says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. So if we're walking in love, saints, we should be walking in peace. Are we here or are we gone home already? Amen. We should walk in love in such a way that we have peace. And if you're not at peace this morning, we'll get there before the service is over. We should be at peace. We should not be worried about anything. My wife was talking to a relative the other day, and they were saying something about worrying about something. And my wife said, I don't worry about anything. What do you mean you don't worry about anything? You know, there's a lot of stuff to worry about. You know, no, it isn't. If you know God, if you're born again, you should be at peace. We shouldn't be up all night ringing, oh, I'm going to make it. Come on. If God is God, he will bring us out of whatever it is. He'll make a way. Now, you may not say, listen, if you're trying to figure out how he's going to do it, don't go there. You'll waste all night. Stay up or you go to bed. I was talking to a good friend of mine in Utah, and God bless her. She was just so stressed out. I prayed for her. And the company was going through some challenges at that time. And I think we were in Africa when she called me. We're in Africa. And she said, Billy, I said, I'm going to bed. Good night. And so the next day she emailed me, how could you go to bed? You know, hey, what am I going to do about all that? Turn it over to God. Let him take care of it and go on about what he told you to do. Because he's able. Tell your neighbor, he's able to work it out. Now, in the book of Revelations, we see John. This is Revelations chapter 1, verse 1. This is Amplified. Excuse me. He said, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his unveiling of the divine mysteries. God gave it to him to disclose and make known to his bondservant certain things which must shortly and speedily come to pass in their entirety. And he sent and communicated it through his angel, his messenger, to his bondservant John. I don't have time today to talk about angels, but let me just say this. They're here, they're with you. And we need to recognize them a little more often. I'll give you just a quick example. Recently, I was in Ohio just a couple of weeks ago, and I drove into this place, man. I mean, I was there for dinner. There was no parking anywhere. I mean, cars were just going around in circles, everybody trying to park. People blowing their horn, you know, they getting agitated, man. The thought just came to me, why don't you ask your angels for a parking space? Just like that. Now, how many of you know that thought was from the Holy Ghost? And so just for a second, man, I just stopped. Now all these cars are going around me because everybody trying to park. And I just stopped for a minute right there where I was. And I said, ministering angels, would you please give me a parking space in Jesus' name? Thank you. And I mean instantly, these people walked out, got in their car. I didn't even move. Got in their car, backed out. I pulled in, and all these people blowing their horn, they all mad because I got a parking space. So the angels will get you a parking space. Amen. In the books of John 1, 2, and 3, we see three things. Number one, God is light. God is light. Number two, God is love. And number three, God is life. So number one, God is light. Number two, God is love. Number three, God is life. John is enjoying a delightful fellowship with that God of light, love, and life. And he desperately desires that his spiritual children enjoy the same fellowship. So we should walk in the light. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, if we're born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away and all things have become new. So if we're a new creature, we shouldn't be hanging out where the old creature used to. We don't need to make that plain. Amen. Wherever we used to be doing whatever we used, come on, saints. You're a saint now. You're born. Well, if you're born again, you ought to act like you're born again. Amen. Don't go to the bar trying to win somebody to Christ and you're sitting there drinking with them, telling them how good the Lord is. It doesn't work. That's the problem with, now I'm not talking about Triumph for Word Christian Center, okay? But that's the problem with the church. We're trying to impact the world, but we act like the world that we're trying to impact. And the only way we're going to lead these people to Christ, saints, is be light. We're going to have to be light. And we're going to need to walk in love. Bless people. Everywhere you go, just be a blessing. You know, sometimes we're, especially when we're in Africa, I'll bless the, I do this everywhere I go. I always bless the service. You don't know what's happening with these people. I just bless them. And my wife will say, honey, they gave a sorry service. You know, it's okay. I just bless them anyway. Maybe they just need to be blessed. And I was in Ohio just a few weeks ago. And the Holy Ghost told me to bless the girl that was cleaning my room. So I caught her one day, and I said, the Lord told me to bless you. So I just blessed her. She looked at what I gave her for about 2 minutes. She just stood there looking at it. And she said, all the years I've been working here, no one has ever blessed me. I thought, wow. I said, well, God told me to bless you. And then she went on to tell me I'm working 2 jobs, trying to make ends meet and so forth. And the Lord said to me, tell her if she knew me, she wouldn't have to work 2 jobs just trying to get by. So I turned, I don't know this lady, you know, she just, I had never seen, man, she just cleaned my room, you know. I'm usually not there. And I said, the Lord just told me. Now she's trying to figure out, how did you hear? I didn't hear anything, you know. And the Lord just told me that if you'll receive him, he'll help you work this thing out where you had to work 2 jobs, killing yourself, trying to make ends meet and all that. She started crying. She said, my mama's been telling me for years to go to church. And I, you know, she's doing her thing. And so I said, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus? She said, yes, I would. So we prayed right there. Amen. And she received Jesus Christ. And she left the room, you know, and went on what she was doing. And the Lord said, go back and bless her again. So I went and found her. She's down the, you know, down the hall. And I said, hey, psst, come. She, yes, sir. And I said, the Lord told me to bless you here. I gave her some money. I said, now take your kids to dinner. And then I gave her enough money, brother, that she didn't have to go to McDonald's. Amen. Yeah. I said, here, you go bless your kids. Go take them out to a good dinner. She said, where are you preaching Sunday? Amen. She said, where? Tell me how to find that church, which I did. Amen. Come on over here. That's what I'm talking about. We need to walk in love, saints. Amen. And then we said, what was number 3? Life. Come on, life. Now, where I said life, you could say health. We need to walk in good health. If we're going to fulfill what God has called us to do, saints, we're going to have to take care of this body. Amen. If you don't, there's a price to pay. I don't have time to talk about that. Many, many, many people haven't taken care of themselves. And as you go down, You know something, man? I just heard this from the Holy Ghost. He said, you know, if most people knew how long they were going to live, they'd take better care of themselves. But don't wait till you're 70 to quit smoking. Quit doing whatever that's, you know, not good for the body. Tell your neighbor, you better take care of this body. It's the only one you're going to have on this earth. Now, if you want to leave earth soon, don't take care of it. You'll be out of here. But if you want, you know, if you want to be around to do what God has called, you know, the saddest thing that could happen, saints, is for us to show up in heaven early. And then the Lord pulled back the curtain and said, here's all the stuff I have for you to do on the earth, but you never fulfilled this thing, yeah, because you didn't take care of yourself. Come on, smile at me. It's never too late to get your gym shoes out. Amen. Go back to the gym, walk, do something. Just don't sit at the on the remote, you know, with the on the couch with the remote. Get out and do something. Do whatever you can do. But take care of yourself. Point number two. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. If you'll go with me over to the book of Esther. That's in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. The book of Esther, chapter 2. We see, most of you know the story. Esther becomes queen. Instead of Vashti. Are you guys familiar with the story?
Yes.
Okay, I don't need to read the whole right, the whole thing, all that. Okay, praise God. All right, so go Esther chapter 2, verse 7. And Mordecai, that's her uncle, and Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she neither had father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful when her father and mother died. Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So we see here, without going into the whole backdraft, you remember Esther has to go to the, you know, she's sent because she's beautiful to be looked at by the king along with a bunch of other women. But Esther has the favor of God because God has a purpose for Esther, which is going to impact the whole nation. And you may have a purpose to impact the nation. Look at my wife and I. This is what we're talking about. Who would have known, now, you know, when I met my wife 30 years ago plus, who, if she had looked at me and said, one day you're going to Kenya, I'm going with you, we'd have both sit there and laugh. No thought about ever going to Africa, period. More or less living over there. But God has a plan. So we see here that Mordecai, her uncle, raises her. So go over just a little bit to verse 21. This is where Mordecai discovers the plot. Well, let's go to verse 19. Esther 2:19. When virgins were gathered together a second time, Mordecai sat within the king's gate. And Esther was not revealed, had not revealed her family or her people, just as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. So it says here that she was not revealed that she was a Jew. Now remember that her uncle Mordecai had told her, don't tell anyone. Now when your parents tell you don't do something, they know a little. You may not think they know anything, but that gray hair that they have probably says that they have a little wisdom about something. And you might want to listen to your parents. Come on, you young people. It's a good place to say praise God. So it says, verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bighan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on the gallows, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. So God had Mordecai at the right place at the right time to hear what he heard, because all of this is going to be important in this story. So God may have you in a place right now. You may not know, why am I here? Man, I'm tired of this job. I'm tired of these people. Just shut up and wait for the Holy Ghost, because he's got you there for a purpose. And when his time comes, he'll promote you just like he promoted Joseph and many others in the Bible. You just wait. I'll tell your neighbor, just wait on the Lord. Don't do it yourself. So we see here that these two men conspired against King Ahasuerus, and Mordecai discovered the plot. Now Mordecai, his deed, we just read that. His good deed was recorded in the Royal Chronicles of Persia. So let's go over here to Esther chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Esther 3, verses 1 through 6. Now remember, what he did was recorded. After these things, King Ahasuerus prompted Haman, the son of Amminadab, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" So it happened when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to him, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. For Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. Now, this is very important, what we're talking about here. Mordecai showed his loyalty to God by refusing to bow to Haman, the official, the second in command. Don't please people, please God. If someone asks you to do something that you know, even if it's your boss, and they ask you to do something that's not right, not legal, and you're a Christian, don't do it. Say, "I'm sorry, Mr. Boss, Mrs. Boss, but that's not right, and I can't do that." Amen. God will take care of you. Amen. Haman's hatred for Mordecai sparked his plan to kill all the Jews in the Persian Empire. Let's go to Esther chapter 7. Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. Okay. Esther chapter 7. Well, in order to get this, I think I just had to start here at verse 1. Esther 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. Now, remember, Esther has not told them she's a Jew. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition?" Now, remember, she's petitioned the king. "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom it shall be done." Then Queen Esther answered and said, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me and my petition and my people at my request." Verse 4, "For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would hold my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss." Listen, guys, this is wisdom. She said, you know, they could take all of us out, but Mr. King, you're going to lose your labor. You're going to lose some income. Verse 5. "So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, 'Who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing?' And Esther said, 'The adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman.' So Haman was terrified before the king and queen." Verse 7. "Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into a palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch, the couch of where Esther was. Then the king said, 'Will he also assault the queen while I am in the house?' As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Habona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, 'Look, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman.' Then the king says, 'Hang him on it.'" Verse 10. "So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was subsided." Whatever traps the devil has set, whatever people he has put against you to make things difficult in your life, God will deal with them. He has a time. We had a guy that gave us all kind of problems over in Africa for 5 years. 5 years. I mean, man, he just made it difficult. Everything we would ask for, man, it was like pulling teeth. I mean, it was difficult. And my wife and I, last year, they called us. Did they send you an email? Well, we won't. It was at a denominational church where we were having these problems. It was at a denominational church, amen. We were having these problems. And the guy who was giving us this difficult time, last year we were here in America and they sent us an email, sent my wife an email, and they said, "You remember so-and-so?" And my wife, yeah, we remember him. He was the head caretaker over the whole property. This is a church seat, 5,000-some people, a big campus. And they said, "He's dead." How old was he? In his 40s, 41 years old, just died, just like that. That's why the word of the Lord says, "Touch not mine anointed, and I do them no harm." Be careful when you put your mouth on God's people. Amen. especially the men and women of God. Don't do that. Be very careful about that. But anyway, Haman, praise God, we get back to Haman. Haman got what was due to him. He set the trap for Mordecai, and the same gallows he made for Mordecai, he ended up getting hung himself. Hallelujah. Esther chapter 9, verse 26. Esther 9, verse 26. Praise the Lord. Are you there? I got one yes from the pastor. Amen. Are you there? Amen. So they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they have seen concerning this matter and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants, and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time. Now see, the reason it's 2 days was some of the kingdom was freed, like the city was freed that day. But if you were way out in the country somewhere, it took another day for you to get free, kind of like Juneteenth. You know, it was a while before some folks found out I'm free. That's a good place to say amen. So where was it? Verse 27. The Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to what was written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews. And that the memory, tell your neighbor, the memory. The memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Ahel, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim at the appointed time as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of their fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Now, if you go to a Jewish synagogue during the celebration of Purim, they read the story of Esther. And every time they say the name Haman, they have these, like a bell. All the kids have a bell. And every time they say Haman, they ring the bell so you can't hear the name Haman. And when they say Mordecai, they clap. Even today, if you go to the synagogue, when they say Haman, you don't even hear the name. But when they say Mordecai, they all clap. Because God told them, I want you to, that's one thing I love about the Jews. They going to remember what happened. Now, Mordecai used his new position. He took the position of Haman. Mordecai used his new position to encourage his people to defend themselves against the scheduled massacre planned by Haman. Persian officials also assisted in protecting the Jews, an event celebrated by the annual Feast of Purim. The first Christians were Jewish believers, and so were the first missionaries. Jesus was a Jew who died on Passover, a Jewish feast day, and rose again from the dead on another Jewish holy day, the Feast of First Fruits, or you could say the Feast of Shavuot, S-H-A-V-O-T. UOT, Shavuot, first fruits. That means the first of whatever God bless you with should go to God. Come on, you holy people. Amen. That means when you get your check, you don't pay the house payment, car payment, electric, etc. And then if you got enough left, you tithe. The tithe is the first thing that you should pay. The first check that you write in 2019, when 2019 comes, you ought to write a check to the church. It doesn't have to be a tithe. Just the first, we do that every year. The first check we write for the new year, when we have our first service, whatever that is, we go in, my wife and I, we bless that check and we put it in the offering as just extra. First fruit. We let God know we appreciate what's in the bank account. Amen. Amen. You give him first. Because if you put him first, you'll have more. Amen. That's another subject. Amen. The Holy Spirit came from heaven upon a group of Jewish believers on a Jewish holy day called Pentecost. Salvation is from the Jews, John 4:22. If there had been no Jews, there would be no church. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Point number three, integrity and hard work will pay big dividends. Integrity. I like what the lady said on the video. She says, I'm going to go out. I love that. And she says, I'm going to be integral. Amen. Because they're like integrity over there. So integrity and hard work will pay big dividends. Would you go with me, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. The book of Daniel, chapter 6. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, Daniel chapter 6. We'll read the first five verses. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors of whom Daniel was the one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought. What does that say? And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now let me stop there for a second. It says that he had an excellent spirit. Whatever work you do, wherever you work, whatever job, business, whatever it is that you do for a living, you should do it with an excellent spirit. Amen. Do it with, tell your neighbor, neighbor, whatever you're doing tomorrow, do it with excellence. Because you're representing the kingdom. I had a guy tell me, he said, I don't even want to hire Christians. They're lazy. Sorry. This is a very successful businessman. He said, send me some Mormons. They work hard. I thought, what an indictment to the body of Christ. So, verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was on him, in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Tell your neighbor, he was faithful. He was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Could that be said about all of us? Then these men said, We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, Daniel was not corrupt. You have to understand the backdrop of this. The king is looking for someone to put in charge with integrity because he knew they were stealing. But, you know, if you're over the entire kingdom, you can't go micromanage all these guys that's over areas. So they would take, you know, a little of this, a little extra. King wasn't going to miss it. He knew they would take it. And that's why he wanted to put somebody in charge that would stop all that. And he knew if Daniel was in charge, he'd stop all that. But these guys have a plan to not, for Daniel not to become number one. They have a plan. Daniel had a reputation for honesty and wisdom. King Darius was going to make him number one. These leaders didn't want Daniel in charge because they were stealing. Tell your neighbor, write this down, please. Outlook determines outcome. Outlook determines outcome. Whatever you see, that's going to be your outcome. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Daniel had a copy of Jeremiah's prophecy, so he must have read, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Jeremiah 32, verse 27, this is God's word. "I am the Lord of all humanity. Nothing is too hard for me." Tell your neighbor, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing too hard for God. A believer who knows how to kneel in prayer has no problem standing in the strength of the Lord. Let me say it again. A believer who knows how to kneel in prayer has no problem standing in the strength of the Lord. The Puritan preacher Henry Smith said, "God examines with trial. The devil with temptations, and the world with persecutions." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, this is God's word. "God also decided ahead of time to choose us through Christ according to his plan, which makes everything work the way he intends." Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. God's word says, the king prayed, "May your God, whom you always serve, save you." And Daniel chapter 6, verse 20, the king comes out. You know the story. They throw him in the lion's den. The king can't sleep all night. He's, you know. Now, he fell into this trap with these guys because of pride. Because they came to the king and says, "Everyone should bow down. You're God. You're the king." And had he consulted Daniel first, he wouldn't have had that problem. But the Bible said he was up all night without sleep. He told the minstrels to leave. The people with the food, go. As he tried to figure out a way to free Daniel. And then finally he said, "May the God you serve protect you." And so we go now down to verse 20. And it says, Daniel, he comes out and he says, you know what? Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Praise God. Daniel chapter 6. Verse 18. "Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?' Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury, tell your neighbor, no injury, whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Now I'm telling you, if you'll believe in God, he'll protect you. You can see a semi-tractor trailer coming at you, the same direction you're going, and the opposite direction, they're coming at you head first, and you just call on Jesus. Lord, protect me, and you'll be surprised how the Lord can protect you. Verse 24, and the king gave command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. Watch this. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. So these men who hatched this plot to kill Daniel ended up dying themselves. But not only did they die, we just read, the whole family just. When we disobey God, you're on the devil's territory. And it may not be just you. Your whole family's future might be at stake in obeying God. Verse 25, and we're going to finish this. Verse 25 to 28. Then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and language that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. And he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion's den? So this Daniel prospered, tell your neighbors, he prospered. He prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So he prospered under multiple kings. Man, I felt that. Hallelujah. When you're in the will of God, doing what God has called you to do, he will cause you to prosper. Even under evil people. He can. Look at Daniel. They knew he prayed. But what I love about this story is when they passed this law, Daniel didn't go close his window and hide. He opened the window and the Bible said he set his face toward Jerusalem and prayed. Oh God, come, because he remembered the prophecy from Jeremiah. Come and visit us. Don't let people cause you to hide your Christianity. Don't be ashamed, in other words, of being a believer. Don't go to the restaurant. Well, let me see if I know anybody in here before we pray. No, just go on and pray. There might be the person that's waiting on you or somebody else need Jesus and see you praying and say, I'm going through a difficult time right now. Could you pray with me? You never know. And that person that you're praying with, you never know. They might just end up in this church. We need to become heat-seeking missiles for Christ. Everywhere we go, we need to be looking for people. I live in Texas now, so I double dog dare you. I double dog dare you to get up tomorrow and say, Father, give me an assignment from heaven for souls. Lead, guide, and direct me to somebody that needs Jesus. What would happen, church, if we had that attitude every day? Help me connect with somebody that needs Jesus. And what would happen, this is coming up on June, between now and the end of the year, if each one of us in here told three people, I'll bring you to church. Now, don't tell them meet me there. You know they're not going to meet you. But I'll come get you. We can have some coffee, tea, something, you know. After the service, we'll have a little something. But I'll come and get you. What would happen here, saints, if each one of us reached out on purpose to fill that seat next to you between now and the end of the year? How about this? What would happen if we said, Holy Spirit, I'm new to the area. I don't know anyone. Help me help some people come to Christ and come be part of this family. Thank you for the three sorry amens. Okay, I'm closing. Hallelujah. Getting quiet. We said, number one, God wants to bless us. Is that right?
Yes.
Number two, God has a plan for your life. You remember Jeremiah. I know you've been taught Jeremiah 29:11. He says he's got holy plans for you. Plans to do good, not evil. Plans to bless you, not curse you. Plans for a future and a hope. Whatever plan God has for you is better than yours. He wants you to be blessed more than you. You want to be blessed yourself. Number three, integrity and hard work will pay big dividends. I tell you something about working. Years and years ago, my first real job was at UPS as a driver. And after I'd been there, within about the first year, the guys came to me, Pastor, and they said, Brother Billy, we're sorry, but we're going to have to ride with you today. And I said, why you got to ride with me? And they said, we know we're going to slow you down, but they filed a grievance, the other drivers. All the drivers in the center signed a grievance saying he's making us look bad and he needs to slow down. I was finishing, sister, at 4 o'clock. Now, they had enough stuff on that truck to keep you out there till 5 for sure. And some of you may see some guys around here even today driving in the dark, still trying to finish. I was finished at 4 o'clock. I was on my way back to the center, clock out, go home. And they had to ride with me. And they said, we're sorry. And back then, I didn't know the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I wasn't even born again, but I worked hard. And within the second year that I was there, they said, we want to take you to, send you to New York, send you to school, become a manager for UPS, because it wasn't because I was smart. I worked hard. Come on, you holy people. Amen. So let's do a better job at whatever it is that we do. And if you do, you're going to find yourself moving up, because I can tell you from my past experience, Pastor, that lazy people, they're more lazy people than hardworking. And that's why the supervisors make the big money. And all their job is, Pastor Cynthia, is just walk around and see who's lazy. And if you find one that's lazy, hey, you took a bathroom break 10 minutes ago. Let's go. They get paid to just walk around. And the supervisors make what? More money than the guys that work. But their job is just to walk around and find out who's lazy. And tell them, get with the program. Come on, amen. So let's not be one of those folks lazy that they got to tell. And then you got a cross hanging around your neck. That's even worse, you know. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. She katadabaka. You know, the boss said, that's one of them lazy Christians. Let's do a good job and represent God. Amen. So I'm closing. Praise God. God's servants are immortal until their work is done. No demon devil will be able to take you out until your work is done. Now, my wife was asking me about someone we know recently that's just gone through hell, man. I mean, they're still going through some really difficult situations physically. And they're a preacher, but they weren't preaching. They weren't doing anything for God. So when he gives you an assignment and he gives you something to do, don't go praying about it. Don't go asking five or six people, what should we do? Do what the Holy Ghost said do. Amen. Obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. We didn't tell people we were going anywhere doing anything. We just started getting everything together, got ready to go to Kenya. And my wife talks to my mother-in-law every day, just about they talk. And she called my mother-in-law, Mama, I'm going to Kenya. Wow! Leave them folks alone. Leave them people to themselves over there. Why you got to go over there? That's why we didn't call you. You're going to tell us don't go somewhere, don't do something. They mean well, you know, they love you, they don't want anything happen to you. But saints, how many of you know we could be around the corner at McDonald's somewhere and get shot?
Amen.
Killed. Just in the United States. More or less in Kenya. So wherever you go, God will protect you. Especially if you're doing his will. So don't worry about that. Well, the Lord told me to go to Mexico if he told you to go. He'll protect you while you're there.
Amen.
Now, don't overstay because you want to sit in the sun. Do what you're supposed to do and leave. My wife and I found out several years ago we were in Kenya. I don't know why we stayed another week. We stayed another week past the head after school was over and all that, man. We got irritated. We ready to, you know, hit one of these folks that's driving crazy over there. And then it dawned on us. The grace is lifted. The grace is on you to do the assignment. And when the assignment is over, you go. Grace is there. Tell the devil. Say, devil.
Checkmate.
Now, he may be trying to tell you checkmate, but God says you got another move. You just don't see it. But he's got a way out for you, and he's got a way for you to do. Would you bow your heads, please?